Welcome to another episode of Tales from the DC Multiverse, the podcast. I'm your host, Adam, and once again, unfortunately, Travis is not with me because of this time it's not his car, it's his internet. He's having a devil of a time with trying to get up and running. And so, not to delay the podcast and the proceedings, he's given me the green light to go ahead without him. I don't like doing this alone because I don't like listening to myself talk. So I'm grateful to have another guest. And apparently we have a secondary guest, which is cool. But our main guest and co-host this time around, unexpected co-host. I don't think she was expecting to have co-hosting duties. But I have Katie Gilstrap with me. Katie, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. For those that are not familiar with who you are, give us a little bit of a brief background.
So I'm the deputy editor-in-chief for Wabam Entertainment, a sister site to Revenge of the Fans. Mm-hmm. Kind of partner up on a lot of these things. I'm also the co-host for the Wabam Entertainment podcast. A lot of DC and Star Wars, that's my jam.
Well, I'm glad it is, because otherwise having you on a DC podcast, if you weren't a fan of DC, would be kind of pointless. But we were on a podcast together, what was it, a few months ago?
It was, the Fanboy podcast for the Elseworlds crossover.
Yes, that was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was.
Talking about fabulous Three Nights of TV. I got my, I enjoyed that so much. I said, we got to have Katie on. And I was thinking of, okay, what could we get her on for? And I came up with the idea of Batman Bad Blood, the animated film, because both you and I are really excited for Batwoman making her, I guess it would be not debut, but her series debut on the CW next season. That's going to be a little bit before we get to that. So I said, let me try and get her on earlier, because I think our listeners will enjoy what she has to say. And turns out that Katie is caught up on Young Justice Season 3. So that will be our main topic of discussion for today. But before we get to that, we also have some other things to take care of. And so we're going to do that now. Usually we start with comic book recommendations. But Katie, is it okay if I say on air what you told me off air?
Yeah, go ahead.
You can do it. I'll let you do it, because I'm not making fun of you. I don't want to make it sound like I'm making fun of you. So I'll let you say it.
Okay, so I've actually never read any comic books. I got into DC from the Arrowverse shows. And so Adam's going to give me some comic book recommendations.
Yeah, not that I'm any kind of expert, even though I've been reading since, I have no idea. I can't remember. my wallet yells at me for how long I've been reading and spending money on these things. But since we're talking about, you know, there's some Batman and Suicide Squad related news. Have you been recommended? Because you know how Matt Reeves is talking about his Batman being a noir detective type story.
Right.
Have you been recommended The Long Halloween?
No, I have not.
That is definitely one that I suggest you check out. It's essentially a murder mystery that Batman has to solve over the course of 12 months of the year. And every issue involves a member of his rogues gallery coming into play and adding to the mysterious proceedings. It's a really good book. It's by Jeff Loeb is the writer and Tim Sale is the artist. Following that up, I'd also recommend Dark Victory, which is the sequel to The Long Halloween. It's by the same creative team, and it kind of introduced, tell the story of the first Robin's introduction to Gotham and the Batman world. Then, along that track, I would also read. Have you been recommended Batman Hush?
No, I've heard very good things about it though, and the animated movie is coming.
There was a period of time where my comic reading lapsed, and then I came back into it in about, I want to say, 2003. And one of the first things I read was the Batman Hush storyline. Okay. And so that kind of, was one of the ones that got me back into things. And it's, again, written by Jeff Loeb. I swear he's not paying me to give all these recommendations. Kind of wish he was, but he's not. And it's drawn by Jim Lee, who's a fantastic artist. You've probably seen his art around the internet. And okay, here's where you've seen his art. Remember in the Elseworlds crossover where Oliver draws the image of the monitor and what the heck was his name? I already forgot.
The doctor guy?
Yeah, whatever, doctor something or other. And you see Wayne Tower behind them in the background?
Yep.
Okay, that's actually Jim Lee's drawing. So you've seen Jim Lee before.
Okay.
So I'd recommend that. And I'm going to go off the books. With Suicide Squad, if you're going to get into it and you want familiarity in terms of what you've kind of sort of seen in the movie, I would go with the Rebirth Volume 1 comics. So Suicide Squad Rebirth Volume 1. The best part about it is it doesn't have a belly dancing enchantress, which was probably the worst thing for me of the Suicide Squad movie, which, contrary to popular belief, I quite enjoy otherwise, aside from that part of it. I thought the cast really was solid and made that movie what it was. And it gave me Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn, for which I will forever be grateful for. But that's another that's another episode. So those are my recommendations. I hope at some point you'll check them out and let me know what you think.
I will.
But with that out of the way, let's get right into news, which kind of, as I alluded to, ties in with what we talked about. Before we get to the movies, let's stick with the Arrowverse. It was announced this week or earlier this past week, as of this recording, that all five Arrowverse shows have been renewed for their respective next seasons, whatever number each respective one is on. I love the Arrowverse. Yes, I have my issues with certain choices they make, and no, that's not just a knock on Legends of Tomorrow. But it's normal to watch a show and have little inconsistencies that you might not like, but the rest of the show overall you enjoy. And so even if I do have little knocks on most of it, or on some of the shows, I do generally enjoy them all, with unfortunate exception of Legends, which I sadly dropped earlier this year. But having said that, I'm personally glad it's back, because just because I don't enjoy it doesn't mean that other people don't enjoy it. So, or did I think I said that right? You get what I'm saying. So I'm glad for the people that do enjoy it that it's still around. And I quite like Brandon Routh, Katie Lotz, and Dominic Purcell, who plays Heatwave. So I'm glad they're still working and they're still within the DC universe. Katie, what's your take on all the renewals and all of them happening so soon?
So I'm really intrigued to see how they go about with Arrow specifically, because of all the rumors with the Elseworlds crossover and then Crisis on Earth happening this fall. So I'm excited to see how they go about doing that, especially with Emiko being introduced, like if she'll take over.
Ooh, I see where you're going.
Whatnot. I don't think that show lives without Stephen Amell, though. So I'm interested to see where they go with that. Legends of Tomorrow, I think, was a very interesting renewal. I am one of those people who likes it, but they have fallen a bit down, and I haven't really appreciated this last season. So I'm interested to see, like, how the rest of it goes, because obviously they're justified, whether it's with Crisis coming or the last half of the season is just so great. I don't watch Black Lightning. Being a college student, I only have so much time in a week to watch shows, and sure. I kind of had to cut one. Flash has been absolutely great this season. Mm-hmm. I love Nora. And Supergirl, I'm kind of neutral on Supergirl, so.
Fair enough. Your point is well taken about Arrow, and specifically with the rumors that Oliver Queen is going to be the one to bite the dust in Crisis, based on what you know the whatever deal he made with the Monitor at the end of the crossover. But I'm just to show that I'm going to hate on Legends. Look, last season of the Arrowverse, I was not happy with the Flash. Not to the point of dropping it, but I couldn't stand it.
I think a lot of people were at that point last season. Yeah. It really struggled.
And yet, I came back, I gave it a shot, and now, like you said, it's performing fantastically this season. So, even if I don't tune in for another episode of Legends this season, I'll give it a fair shake and tune in, because they may change courses. I mean, one thing that you can say about Legends is that it's notorious for changing course between from one season to the next.
Right.
So it's entirely possible that next season it could go in a different direction again, and I could really like that direction, and then I'll be back on board. So it's not I dropped it this season, and it's a done deal. I'm never tuning back in. Could very well turn itself around. Like, you know, even Arrow had a down season. I think it was season 4. Whatever season had Damian Dark, I couldn't stand it. I think it was season 4.
So,
it has happened that I've turned my opinion around. I mean, it's shocking to within the fan community. You can change your opinion. it's a thing. So it could happen, and I'm not ruling it out. So, like I said, I'm glad they're all back. The cool thing that I noticed is Mark Pedowitz, who is the head honcho over there at the CW, in an interview, I think it was with Entertainment Weekly or one such outlet, where he alluded to the fact that we'd have to wait till May to find out how the episode orders for all of the, this is how he worded it, all of the six Arrowverse shows. Now, to my counting, Katie, unless my math has totally deteriorated, which is quite possible, there are only 5 Arrowverse shows, correct?
Technically, there's only 4, because Black Lightning isn't technically Arrowverse.
Right. But
so, yes, but there are 5 superhero DC shows on the CW.
So now he said 6. So is that a way of sneaking in a Batwoman's gonna be here. It's all but picked up for a season.
I would say so. I mean, you got to think about it. If they bring Arrow back for a limited run, and I mean theoretically, you could cut it off right at Crisis, and then Batwoman takes over the slot, or they alternate slots, or something of the sorts, because Batwoman in the Elseworlds crossover, she felt and looked a lot like Oliver. And, like, so that might be their replacement show right there, and they just choose to bring Arrow back for a limited run up through Crisis. It's a possibility.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. I'm crossing my fingers that was a quiet confirmation that it's all but a guarantee. Because, to me, look, to hire somebody that's higher profile like Ruby Rose, because let's face it, by CW standards, she's probably the biggest star they got.
Oh, yes.
The biggest. So to hire her and then to make all that hoopla, you know, and publicity, which is justified, and notoriety about being the first, you know, superhero led show with a LGBTQ actress and lead character, to then pass on it would be the most moronically stupid thing that I think they could do.
Yeah, she's too high profile for this, and I can't imagine her stepping into a role just to guest star. I mean, especially after her passion. I believe we talked about this on the Elseworlds podcast with Maria.
Yeah.
That she was excited to be able to go in costume to, like, hospitals and stuff and reach out to kids.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine she would have signed on for the role for anything less than a series.
Yeah, and yet she still got attacked by moronic online fans. I don't get it, but whatever. I'm not going to go into that. Well, I might when we get to the Batman news, but we'll see. but, yeah, so I think it's a, like I said, I hope that's covert confirmation. Because that, to me, that show has slam dunk written all over it. And I'm not even a basketball fan, and I'm throwing around basketball terminology. So there it is. But yeah, it's exciting to have them back and going into the back half of the season, knowing that it's not going to end on a cliffhanger only to be canceled, you know, 3 weeks later, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
I like that security. Of knowing that they'll be around. So I'm happy, and here's hoping that Legends alters directions in the next season, and I can get back on board with that. But we will keep you posted in terms of when I think it's the May announcements happen, and I'm sure we'll have a lot of news to discuss then. Moving on to the big screen, Katie, I'm sure you've seen it online that fans have been rather impatient in regards to when is Matt Reeves' Batman coming?
Oh, yes. We have a date.
Yes. And it is June, I believe that the 25th of 2021.
Yep.
So I know where I will be that day, in a theater. Feeling like a six-year-old again because that's when I went to watch the first Batman movie in theaters, or the first one I saw, which was Batman 89. And so in addition to the date, there was an article that appeared, I believe, in Deadline, that was the originator of the article, that specifically said that Ben Affleck would be passing the torch on to the next Bruce Wayne, and then elaborated on it by saying he will not star in the Batman. This was followed up by a retweet or a quoted tweet by Ben Affleck where he quotes the story and says something to the effect of, really excited for the Batman in 2021, can't wait to see Matt Reeves' vision come to life.
Yep.
So the on-again, off-again debate of will he, won't he, which was getting annoying, has been answered. He won't. Ben Affleck will not be Batman for Matt Reeves' film or quote-unquote proposed trilogy. There will be a new, more youthful Batman. The actor stepping into the role. What are your thoughts on, okay, two fronts, the release date and the news that Affleck is out?
So I think it's been, I think it was all but confirmed, yeah, basically, when Affleck stepped out of the director's chair about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was coming back, especially with all the chaos after Justice League and how everyone was up in arms and back and forth about it. And so I just don't think he was ready for the chaos. And so him stepping out of the director's chair was just the beginning, and then especially getting that tweet, I do appreciate finally getting confirmation, but I don't think anyone expected him to be back.
Oh, there were people, believe me.
I tend to stay off the dark side of Twitter, okay?
Well, but good. I'm glad it doesn't seep into your timeline, because it somehow finds it. It finds its way into mine. Continue.
The release date I'm excited for, because Batman's always been my favorite, especially after seeing Christopher Nolan's trilogy. I was a really big fan of Christian Bale's take on the character. So I'm really excited to see Batman back and get his own film. So I'm excited. We're gonna see some casting and some announcements about production fairly soon, I would think.
Yeah, I hope so, because here's my take on it. First of all, like you and like every sane individual on the planet, the minute Ben Affleck said he wasn't directing, I was preparing myself for a new Batman. Like, to me, that was the goodbye. When he said, I'm not directing, that was it. Look, I don't get jumped on by crazy Twitter. Look, I appreciated Ben Affleck in the role. I really liked him. Look, whatever my issues with how Superman was portrayed in BVS, I thought Batman and Ben Affleck's portrayal of him was fantastic. I loved what he did. His 3.5 minutes in Suicide Squad, also, in addition to the warehouse scene, provided some of the best Batman iconography on film. His Justice League performance left, there were a few shining moments, but a lot of it left, it looked like he was going through the motions. But for what can I say, 1.5 films? I guess that would be a fair assessment. He was a fantastic Batman. And if you look at it on paper, he did 3 films. So it's not like, in actuality, he was in 3 films as Batman. Forget about whatever the length was of Suicide Squad. He was there. He was in it. So it's not like his Batman was, shortchanged and we didn't see enough of him. So I get it if Ben Affleck is your favorite performer as Batman. I truly do. But no actor was going to stay as Batman forever, no pun intended. This was inevitable. And I think it's fair that if you're going to bring on a new director, to give him a chance, especially if you're loosening the strings on shared universe, to give him a chance to bring in his own Batman. Why did, like, if there's no requirement on connectivity, why does he have to be saddled with somebody else's Batman? Like, I think as a director, it's only fair that you get to call the shots on your own film. So, and look, I love the part of the film process where we find out who's going to be the new Batman. What's the suit going to look like? What's the Batmobile look like? Who's Alfred? Who's Commissioner Gordon? Who's, so-and-so? Who are the villains going to be? And now we hear that according to Matt Reeves, it's going to be a rogues gallery, which I'm ecstatic for. So all these things, in a perfect world, would I have liked to see Ben Affleck get a solo Batman movie? Sure, of course. But it didn't work out that way. And it's unfortunate. But, I've seen people on Twitter, Katie, say, well, if Affleck's not there, I'm not going to watch the movie. Well, first of all, there's either one of two things. If you're saying that, I've come to one of two conclusions. A, you're full of crap, because you're probably going to be there opening night or opening weekend, regardless. Two, you're more of a fan of Ben Affleck and Zack Snyder's vision of Batman than you are of Batman, the character. Those are the only two. If you make statements like that, those are the only two conclusions I have.
And I think especially with Batman versus Superman and Justice League, we saw two very different Batmans. And like Aquaman, for instance, that we saw very two different Aquaman in Justice League and then in Aquaman. So it's a very hard turnaround, and I think because James Wan was involved in the beginning, he was able to provide a smooth transition. But especially, like you said, bringing in Matt Reeves, a new director, like, I don't think he could have necessarily provided the transition to pull in his vision. And so he definitely deserved to have his own Batman to be able to work fully and provide the best film, in my opinion.
And the cool thing about look, am I ecstatic that Momoa is able to continue as Aquaman? Yes. But the cool thing about that was one of the bright lights that I think everybody or most people can attest to from Justice League is Jason Momoa had positive vibes going around him.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck hasn't had positive, yes, people came around to his performance as Batman, but the vibe around the films he was in was largely negative. Not 100%, but largely negative. As a studio, you can't carry that baggage into... You can't keep carrying on. Warner Brothers is 100% right, of taking what worked, keeping it, and discarding what hasn't worked.
Yep.
It's the right... Look at Aquaman. It's the right course of action. Obviously garnered by the reception in the box office. And it's their money. They're well within their right to do that. And at the end of the day, Matt Reeves is I don't know what your thoughts on him are, Katie, but I think Matt Reeves is a fantastic filmmaker.
And after seeing the Planet of the Apes movies, I totally agree with you.
Right. I mean, those two movies are wow. And his idea of a noir detective-driven storyline. Look, we've seen small bits of that in each of the Batman films, like the detective aspect, but it's never been predominant in any of the films, really. So that's a fresh coat of paint on Batman. And I'm here as a longtime comic reader, and given those books that I mentioned to you, I'm here for it. Like if I could pre-order my tickets now, they'd be in my hands. It's as simple as that. But that's not the only movie that we have a release date for. James Gunn, as we know, a few months ago was hired by Warner Brothers to write another Suicide Squad film, let's call it. The same day that they announced plans for the Batman, Warner Brothers had announced, or it was in the same article, it was detailed that the Suicide Squad, which is that's what it's being titled right now, the Suicide Squad, will be released on, I believe, August 6th of 2021. Is that correct, Katie? I think that's the... It's either the 5th or the 6th. Whatever the Friday is, but it's either the 5th or the 6th of 2021. So we're going to have Batman in June, and roughly two months later, we're going to have the Suicide Squad. It was also revealed that James Gunn is in negotiations to actually direct as well, which makes, you know, sense, and you could connect those dots without it being, you know, officially spelled out for you, but it's now out there, you know, as happening. And the movie is described as a relaunch with mostly, and there was an emphasis put on the word mostly, new characters. Here's what I think, Katie, and then I want to get your thoughts. I think that the nature of the Suicide Squad, once you start reading the comics, is that the roster is interchangeable. So you can have, you know, different villains making up the squad for different missions, or some of them get their head blown off because they go against mission, and then they cycle in a replacement. So the idea of a mostly new cast and character grouping is not something that James Gunn is pulling out of his rear end. I mean, this has a basis in the comics. Now, the mostly aspect of it suggests to me that some characters will return from the original. If I'm putting money on who's going to return, and I don't have enough money to put on it. So it'll be Monopoly money. But if I was betting, I would say Amanda Waller, so Viola Davis, will be back. And look, the studio loves Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, as do I. So I think she'll be back. What's your take on all this in terms of James Gunn directing and then the release date and the idea of a mostly new cast? And who do you think would be back?
So I like that DC is going back to the summer release. I know Wonder Woman 2 was originally supposed to be, and this is off topic, but it was supposed to be this November, and they've moved it to next summer. And clearly summer works for them, especially after the release of the first Wonder Woman. So I'm glad that they're going back to that and causing some differentiation on the schedule, for instance. I would agree that Waller's going to be back, Viola Davis. I would think Will Smith was very popular in the role as Deadshot.
Mm-hmm.
So I would see him coming back. I don't necessarily see Margot coming back. I do think the studio likes her, and I think we could see her maybe for a couple minutes, but I think ultimately, while she was the best part of the original Suicide Squad, I don't think Suicide Squad is really for her. I don't know. But I think James Gunn is a great choice for this role, especially after seeing his work with Guardians of the Galaxy. It's a ragtag team that kind of gets thrown together, and it's the perfect vibe for him. I just hope he doesn't turn it into a Guardians of the Galaxy. I think it needs to be a little more serious than Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right. And I think looking at James, I almost did it again. Damn it. Looking at James Gunn's filmography, you know, you have things like Slither and stuff like that. So he does have a tendency, he can go darker if he's allowed. And I mean, of course, Marvel being Disney, they wouldn't want him to go to those lengths. But, you know, and I'm not saying it has to be, you know, I'm not saying, hey, Suicide Squad better be R-rated. That's not what but I get what you're saying. It should be a little bit more, like, even if you're going to have humor, make it darker humor than what we saw in Guardians. And please, the one thing I don't want, because it bothered the hell out of me in Guardians, I don't know, Guardians 2, I don't know if you remember this scene, when the group met Ego, which was Star-Lord's father.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's been giving his big, you know, exposition. And Drax, for about 3 to 5 minutes, is obsessed whether or not he has a penis. And I'm like, okay, really? Do we need this running joke for 5 minutes? Like, is it necessary? Is it necessary? Like we get it. So none of that, please. Take that out. You mentioned that you like the summer release, Katie. So here's a question I have for you. What are your thoughts on, for the established brands, let's say, Warner Brothers kept the summer release, but for newer or not as popular brands, they maybe go off summer and consider the holiday release like they did for Aquaman? Because as much as I love the Aquaman, I don't know it would have been as successful had it been sandwiched in the summer.
I would disagree with you there, especially considering, like, many people were pushing for it to be pushed back.
Sure.
Or be brought forward just a little bit, because this past December's releases were so popular. I mean, you had Mary Poppins, and that's the only one I can remember right now.
Well, Bumblebee was out there too.
People didn't think it was going to do as well. And so I think if you push it back to the summer and you develop a consistent schedule, I mean, we saw the issue, and this is again off topic, but like with Solo being in May, I mean, I think it was close to the worst performing Star Wars movie since the prequels.
Yeah.
And so if you stick to a consistent schedule and you develop like the fan base that knows, okay, the next DC movie is coming out next summer, and I'm going to be ready for it.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, if they're going to do 2 a year, I mean, depending on what's coming out, like, so it seems to have worked out now that hey, you can stick Batman in June and Suicide Squad in August, which is great. But there are going to be times where that closeness together it's not feasible.
Right.
So you may see something with the Shazam where it's one of them is in May and then another one is in July or August or something. But yeah, I get where you're coming from. I just think that maybe on off, like when there's not a Star Wars movie in theaters, maybe for that off year, DC might consider, I mean, if the schedules are packed, you know, a Christmas release, it's at least, at the very least, it's a fallback option because they know they've had success there now. So we'll see how they play it. But definitely Batman, you know, hopefully Superman at some point in my lifetime. We'll get back to a summer release.
Another thing to think about with like a Christmas release is if you do have to push it back, then you might throw off like an award schedule or something because you're going from one year to another year. It might be better to start off in the summers.
That's a fair point. Yeah, that's a fair point as well. Yeah. But the date of Suicide Squad makes perfect sense since that's the same weekend that the first one opened and had tremendous success in that slot. So makes sense that they would go back to home plate. I don't know what's with the sports references today, but there's two of them. So exciting news, and it will be interesting to see not only who winds up being the Batman, I'm sure, and I'm ready for the... Get ready, Katie, because if you think the drama with Affleck being in or out was fun, just wait for shitstorm. Oh, I don't know where we're at now. Let's see with Batman. So there was Michael Keaton's casting, that was number one. Heath Ledger's casting, that was number two. Affleck's casting was number three. So this will be shitstorm number four. And no matter who Matt Reeves picks,
there will be chaos.
There's going to be a lot of people angry. So I hope it doesn't find you, but even that one, I don't think you're going to be able to avoid. And unfortunately, I can't mute the hashtag Batman because I want to talk about Batman, damn it. So get your act together, people. For all you people that have freakouts for, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, minimal reasons to have freakouts. Control yourself. It's good. Look, Matt Reeves can't please you all. But I've taken the stance of he's going to cast the best person for the job. And given the fact that he's a talented filmmaker and I'm not, I'm willing to give whoever it is the benefit of the doubt until I see the movie. And then I'll judge said person. One last thing I want to throw out to you, Katie, regarding Suicide Squad. James Gunn is good friends with Michael Rosenbaum.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he finds a role for our former Lex Luthor?
This is difficult because I know Rosenbaum has had words to say about how he was stuck in the role. So maybe if he comes back as like a...
Yeah, not as Lex Luthor, but as
an... Yeah, actor. Not... He wouldn't be Lex Luthor, but like if he wasn't like a villain or something, I could see him coming back in like a smaller role or like...
Okay.
A detective or something, but I don't think you see him come back as like, I don't know, like I'm trying to think of a Batman villain, Mr. Freeze or something.
No. I think it'll be, if it is a villain, I think it'll be one of the Suicide Squad villains. I think his name is The Shade or something, one of those secondary, like he'll be on the team, but it won't be a situation where he's going to shave his head. Because Rosenbaum's biggest thing was he got frustrated having to shave his head. Mm-hmm. Every second day or whatever the heck it ended up being. So I think as long as you don't have to shave his head, I think he'd be game for it. So there are secondary characters where it could just be, you know, let's say if there is a, if this does well and James Gunn comes back for Suicide Squad 3, maybe he'd have to come back for that. But I don't think it'd be a situation where, okay, now he's going to sign a 10-picture deal and come in and be in the Flash movie or this movie or that movie. So, yeah, but he has said words that if James Gunn calls him, he would welcome being in the film.
I can see him be the military man that typically leads Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Yeah, and I'm going to call it. I don't know. I'm not Nostradamus or anything, but I'm fairly confident in saying that I have a feeling that Dave Bautista will be cast as Bane. I'm just going to call it now.
And then, I can see that. I've heard King Shark too.
Who's that?
I've heard him being cast as King Shark too.
Yes, that's a good... Yeah, yeah. Either one of those. All right, we'll keep tabs on that. But I think it's a foregone conclusion he's in it. Like, he's not coming back. After Endgame, he's not... Or, yeah. After Endgame, he's done. He's done with Marvel. And he's publicly come out and said, where do I sign? When James Gunn took the job. So I think it's a foregone conclusion. It's just a matter of who. My money's on Bane. King Shark is out there, according to Katie. So we'll see. We'll see. But I'm willing to bet more Monopoly money that Dave Bautista's in this thing. With that, that brings the news to an end. Shall we talk some Young Justice Outsiders?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. I'll just give you some brief background on my relationship with the show, and then I'll let you do the same, and we'll get your thoughts on the season first. But my relationship with the show is that I absolutely loved it when it first premiered. To me, it is definitely in my top five in regards to DC animation, with Batman the Animated Series being number one, Justice League being number two, Superman the Animated Series being number three, and then Young Justice. I was really annoyed and upset when it was canceled and then replaced by what it was replaced by. Even though I came to enjoy Teen Titans afterwards, I was still bitter. And then when Teen Titans got canceled and got replaced by Teen Titans Go, which I am not a fan of, people know, if they've listened to the previous iteration of this podcast, they'll know I'm not a fan. So I'm not going to regurgitate that. But when it was announced that it was back on DC Universe, that was like an added Christmas present in a month that wasn't Christmas. So I'm ecstatic that it's back. I loved the original take on the show. What about you, Katie? What's your take on, like, what's your relationship with the show prior to it coming back?
So I did watch it a little bit on Cartoon Network. It was like the animated Clone Wars for me. I didn't like it at first, but it kind of grew on me.
Okay.
And so I wasn't necessarily upset when it got canceled, but I can see where everyone was upset and the cause for it to be renewed and brought back. So when it got brought back at San Diego Comic-Con and the announcement was made with the trailer and everything, I was pretty excited. I would say I don't like the time jumps necessarily. I'd like to see the in-between stuff. I like to see all the details. So that is a little part that throws me off. But I do enjoy the show very much.
Okay, cool. So let's get right into it. What, like, season three, what were your overall impressions, overall thoughts? Are there things you want to key in on? And then we'll go from there. Give us your deep dive. Go deep dive into season three. Go ahead. And by the way, it's spoilers. So if you haven't watched it yet, pause, stop this podcast, watch 13 episodes in a row. Because why not wait? Why not, you know, spend 13 hours doing that? Unless you have, you know, schoolwork to do or something, then do that first and then whatever. But make sure you watch it and then come back and listen to this episode. But go ahead.
So I really enjoyed actually Halo's character being introduced.
Yeah.
The metahuman trafficking is something that I didn't necessarily understand at the beginning, but as you get more into the show, You kind of understand it a little bit more. And the elements that they pulled in with Nightwing splitting off into his own team yet again and pulling in kind of the originals and then the newer people with Forager, the prince, I can't remember his name.
Brion.
Yes, Brion. And Halo.
Geoforce.
Yes. They developed a really interesting team, but I was really interested to see how Halo got her powers. And so at the end, when it was revealed that she was like the mother box, had like resurrected her and given her the powers, that was really neat to me. Because I don't know that much about comics, obviously, is Cyborg typically from a father box, or how does he typically get his powers?
It typically does happen from the Apocalyptian technology. That is consistent.
I knew that much. I didn't know if it was a father.
That I think varies depending on the adaptation, but because I know in Justice League was the mother box, I think, right?
Yeah.
There were no father boxes in Justice League. It was all about the mother because Steppenwolf said mother about 12,000 times. I think it varies between adaptation, and just to echo your thought on Cyborg for a second. I love the fact that he's here because in the comics he starts with the Teen Titans. So this is kind of, and because Young Justice is essentially the Teen Titans. It's like a return home for Cyborg he fits perfectly here, I think.
Yeah, but, and especially with him not being on Titans, which is kind of like his origin, I really thought it was good to bring him into this iteration of this generation's Teen Titans kind of thing.
Yeah. No, it was. I really liked it. I'll get more into his story as we go on. But what else kind of stood out to you that you wanna aside from. The character.
I really like Tigress.
How about I do this? We'll go here.
Really enjoyed her character. I wish we saw more of. You broke up there for a second.
So did you. You broke up. What did you just repeat what you said?
I like the Tigress.
Yeah.
Character. And I wish we saw more of her, but also I wish we'd see more of like Magan's team.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's getting away from the core aspect of the mini Justice League, and I like that.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. What I liked about it was some of the things I liked, and you can comment on from there. What I liked was the idea that it starts off, with a shocker of the Justice League sort of breaking apart because of, UN restrictions and such. Lex Luthor being the ambassador for the league is still something that I find jarring at first. Like when the show opens and you realize, Lex Luthor is the ambassador, really? I don't recall if that was something that was set up, because it had been a while since I watched season two. I don't recall if that was something set up at the end of season two. So I can't say if that was again, but it was shocking to me. But the fact that they broke off, I really thought it was legit, but of course later on we see that Wonder Woman is covertly working with, not only Batman and his outsiders, but also the multiple Young Justice teams, right? So,
yep.
So was that all, like, it almost seems like that was kind of like a ruse to kind of, gain their independence from government control.
I think at this point, like, they're on their last leg of creativity, because it's been, what, I think 10 years since the light was introduced in the original season. Yeah. And so they're reaching the edge of their creativity with trying to expose this villainous team. And so...
Yeah. No, that's fair. But I did like... I liked Black Lightning's role in this.
Yeah, he's been a breath of fresh air, kind of.
In the sense that he was, he has that moment at the beginning where he thinks he kills, right? And so he's all sort of emotional and upset about it even though what I liked about it was that even though he joins the team, and that's always at the back of his mind, right? And mm-hmm. it never truly leaves him, because they could have easily brushed it under the rug after, what, one or two episodes?
Right.
But it seemed like a recurring thing that he will always have guiding him going forward and how he proceeds. But I really like his role as sort of like a mentor and a sort of the experienced, one of the more experienced members of the team. So I love how, just in general, DC's building up Black Lightning. And I'm sure the live action show has a lot has a lot to do with that. So I really enjoyed his role. You brought up Megan, and I like the progression of where she and Superboy are headed. I think it was kind of intriguing that whenever they had like alone time or it was just them, they would kind of talk telepathically. Mm-hmm. So it was like their own little, it was their thing, if you will, right? And it felt like for an animated show, that relationship felt legitimate. It felt real. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you got that same feel. In terms of the metahuman trafficking, that is a rather, again, foreign, and I get that this is aimed at, I don't want to say more mature, but older audiences, right? But even still, for a cartoon that kids are probably going to come across, that's even with the sort of trappings of, superpowered people, that's a heady topic to be dealing with. And I actually appreciate that they go there. And the fact that it was the driving force of the entire first half. Because you got to remember, the 13 episodes we're talking about, or we're looking at as a whole, it wasn't the full season, it was half. But it seems to me that it's going to carry over right to the end of the season. Mm-hmm. At least that's the way, there was no real, there's no clear-cut resolution to that. I mean, yes, they caught, or they found Tara, which was Brion's sister. Which is initially, what got them together and who they were looking to save, right? So it doesn't seem like there's a resolution to that and that it's going to continue. And I like the fact that this season, more than the other two, feels more of a long-form story, storytelling. I don't know if you've noticed that as well compared to the other two.
It definitely does feel like that. And I like the idea of that they're mirroring the original or the Teen Titans animated show where Tara is aligned with Deathstroke.
Yeah.
We were covering spoilers.
Yeah. Which is from the comics, by the way. It's it's from a storyline called Teen Titans, the Judas Contract.
That was one that was recommended to me.
Oh, well, good. And I figured it would be. I'm surprised the ones I told you about weren't recommended to you. Maybe some of your friends aren't Batman fans. I don't know what's up with that, but how can you not be a Batman fan? That's another question. That could cover a whole podcast. But no, that is an amazing story. If you get a chance, definitely. As soon as you can read that, given the fact that you've liked Young Justice so far, and I don't know what your feeling on Titans is, but they're heading in that direction, or at least from the casting information, it seems like they're headed in that direction in season two of Titans. So definitely get in on that storyline if you can. Check it out as soon as possible. As soon as you're done with your school, reward yourself with a purchase of the Judas contract storyline.
Hey, here I come.
When I saw that, I'm like, oh, okay, we're going here, and it's such a quintessential Titans storyline that even though they've done it in other, you know, forms of media before, like you said with Teen Titans and there's an animated movie called The Judas Contract, right? So they've done it before, but each iteration of the animated projects we're talking about has been so different that I think, and the storyline is so powerful and impactful that I think it merits a sort of revisit for each new incarnation of the team. So I do like that they're going there. I really like, you know what, I've always loved this about Young Justice, and I continually love it here, is the fact that it shows you the expanded DC universe. So there are moments where we see Dick Grayson and Barbara Gordon together, and Barbara Gordon is in a wheelchair, and which confirms to me that the comic book storyline, The Killing Joke, has happened in this continuity. And look, I, as a person who, I'm not in a wheelchair, but who has a disability, I love the Oracle character. And so to see her here, I don't know how much we'll see of her going forward, but to see her have a presence is great. I'm kind of disappointed that DC, with, I think it was the New 52, went the cop-out route where they sort of, I mean, it's kind of sort of not a cop-out, but you know, they gave, basically, Bruce Wayne paid for a surgery, experimental surgery that gave Barbara Gordon the use of her legs again. I don't mind that story progressed, but Oracle became such a powerhouse of a character to the fan base in the comics, and especially people with disability, that it was kind of disappointing to see DC sort of say, yeah, okay, we've had enough of that. And I mean, there have been other Batgirls before. You could have easily had, you know, one of those remain as Batgirl, but God forbid. Yeah, and that's one of the issues that I like about, one of the things I like about Young Justice is that you seem to get a sense of the characters are progressing and they're changing with time, as opposed to, you know, eventually just being the exact same as where we left them, which is what comics has a tendency to do. They'll progress for a certain period of time, and then there'll be some sort of reboot that will, that'll regress the character back to the traditional sort of status quo. And I kind of wish, and with certain characters, DC does it, like with, you know, Wally West being around, the legacy characters, right? But so, all that to say that I like seeing Barbara Gordon as Oracle again. And her banter with Dick Grayson was spot on.
Yes.
From the comics that I remember how it was. So I really enjoyed that. I really like the, like I said, the Halo was for me, right? The one, the character you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the progression of that character. It was a slow burn, but the payoff was well worth it. Like her getting comfortable sort of in her own skin and finding her identity, not only as a superhero, but as just a regular person. That mm-hmm. was very well played, I thought. And you alluded to that as well, because you said she was one of your favorite characters. I'll go ahead and say that I really liked the version of Cyborg that we got. I thought it was very, his origin was very true to the comics. Pretty much verbatim. And I really like where that storyline has the potential to go. And I thought that in his origin episode, which was one of my favorites, because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the episode where it was his origin, the other storyline that they had going on was with Batman and the Outsiders joining the team, right?
That and the first day of school, I want to say.
Right, yeah. So I really like that episode because anytime you give me Batman and the Outsiders, shut up and take my money. That's my, you know. But then to add on the whole Cyborg origin factor, it was for an animated show, and I get we're on a streaming service, so I can go the extra mile. That was gruesome.
Yeah.
Like his accident was very gruesome, and again, I mentioned it. Seeing Batman and Katana and Metamorpho invade Santa Prisca, where Bane is, and Vandal Savage and the like. There's that one scene where Bane is like, nobody gets on Santa Prisca without me knowing it, and then Batman's like, well, except for Robin, except for. And he's rolling off the list of all the people that have got on the island.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. And just the way Batman's so dry, like he's just so matter of fact about it. That was great. Honestly, in that segment, I'm like, okay, I can totally see this animated show spinning off of from Young Justice, like a Batman and the Outsider show. And I'd watch it 100%. Not that anybody needed that confirmation, but I would. And I really liked also, like, peppering in some of the New God stuff, right?
Sorry. Got some guest stars again.
Oh, no problem. I always welcome some, your dog, I don't know if it's a boy or a girl.
I got two of them, Vinny and
Achilles. Okay, so maybe they both liked Young Justice, so they want to get in on the chat. But I liked, where was I? The
Batman and the Outsiders, New Gods?
Yeah, the New Gods. Like that they brought, there was a bit of that peppered in as well. The one character that kind of, I'll be honest, one of the negatives I had was, let me see if I can find the character's name. The bug.
Forager.
That's it. I understood why, but when he kept repeating his full name over and over, and it's like, all right, the shtick is getting old for me. Let's get him to a point where he doesn't have to repeat his name over and over again. I also like the fact that Geo-Force. You know, Brion was so angry and so like irritable so quickly, and how it sort of came full circle with Superboy, because that's how Superboy was at the beginning when he first appeared.
Right, Superboy's kind of mentoring him and stuff.
Yeah, and I thought that was a nice full circle moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I really appreciated that. But, is there any other specifics that you wanna key in on? Or?
Kind of just going back to the progression, like, I guess that's why they choose to do, like, the 5-year mark or, like, the time jumps, because it allows them to kind of just extend the progression and kind of show different periods so you're not stagnant. So I guess that is a good factor with that. That was really the only other thing I had.
But also, to be fair, I understand your point. And when the originals, the first two seasons were going on, they had comics that would work like in between or congruent with the current storyline.
Oh, okay.
That was on the show. So if they brought those back, let's say those digital comics, maybe they could do something where they could fill in the gaps of before the time jump.
Right.
That could be something they do, and that I would welcome. I get what your point. I definitely do. But overall, I'm really, really happy with the first half of the show. I really am excited to see where the back half is going. I guess we can close this out with a rating.
I did have a question for you.
Yeah, okay.
So they've renewed Titans. They had renewed Titans before the season. I think before the season started, they've done the same thing with Doom Patrol. Do you think we'll see a renewal for Young Justice before the beginning of the second half of the season?
Whether it happens at the beginning, I would like it to happen before the second half starts, just so that fans don't have to worry about, oh my God, you know, is it going to get canceled again? But I think it has to get renewed, because stats have come out saying that it was the highest, you know, the most demanded streaming show, not only on the network, on the streaming service, but in general, for I can't remember what the time frame was, but it was the highest, and Titans was number two. So these are, you know, it's your big success story. You already renewed your second big success story, so it only makes sense to me that a renewal happens, and I would hope that it happens at the start of the second half or just before it gets kicked off. But I personally think it'll get renewed regardless. It's just a matter of when they choose to pull the trigger on it. But I think it's, judging on the responses and the viewership numbers that we're hearing about, it would be pure stupidity not to at this point.
I would agree.
So with that, what would you, if you had to grade the first half of the season, what would you give it? Now you can do letter or number grade. It's whatever your preference is.
So I'd probably give it a B plus, in that range.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I'd probably go B plus, only because there were a couple episodes that did move a little slower than I would have liked. And I would have liked to see more of the original team.
Get Aqualad or Aquaman.
Yeah, and by the way, just to go back, because I forgot this, I like the fact that he's progressed into Aquaman.
Yeah.
Calder. And I also, the other thing I wanted to mention, I love that they introduced us to other members of the Bat family. In addition to Oracle, we saw Jason Todd, who's being brainwashed at this point by Ra's al Ghul.
Yep.
And his cronies. And we also saw I think it was Tip Drake.
I think you're right.
And I don't know if Damien was part of the proceedings, but I know it was Tim was one of them. And we also saw, remember that episode where all the wives and the family members of the heroes got together?
Yep.
At Iris's house. Lois came in and we saw that she was with John Kent, the baby. So she and Superman have gone to the stage where they've had the baby, and so it's sort of kind of lining up with current comics. So that was nice. But yeah, overall, I'll give it a solid B+. I think with the second half, there's room for it to get even stronger. But I'm so happy to have it back. So I guess thumbs up from both of us, either way. And before we get out of here, just do one more plug, Katie. Where can if people want to find you or interact with you on social media, where can they do that?
So I am at kgilstrap13 on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm also, you can also find me under the WabamENT. That's the Wabam Entertainment's Twitter. I do a lot of live tweets from there. So feel free to give us a follow and come read some of my reviews for me.
Definitely get in on that, folks. Great stuff on all accounts. So definitely give all of them a follow and give Katie's stuff a read. If you want to interact with me, you can do so on Twitter at Superhero Sci-Fi. If you want to join in the proceedings on the Facebook group, just go over to Tales from the DC Multiverse podcast, request entrance. One of us will add you, and we can continue conversation over there. We want to mention that we are part of the Revenge of the Fans podcast network. So if you want to read my Tales from the DC Multiverse articles, which cover mostly the Arrowverse, you can do that at revengeofthefans.com. And those are all the ways you can find me. We hope you enjoyed this episode. I sure enjoyed recording it with Katie.
And, yes, thank you for having me.
And we will definitely have her back for Batman Bad Blood. And if I can convince her to come back for the eventual Batwoman premiere episode review, we'll have her back for that as well if she wants to come back. And we hope you enjoy this episode, whether you're listening to it on a weekend or a weekday. Until next time, so long, everybody.